Good morning, mate. How are you doing?
I am very well indeed. You haven't been at Comic-Con, have you, in San Diego with the others?
I have been at Comic-Con. I was at Comic-Con this weekend, my fourth in a row.
What's it like?
I don't know the way Comic-Con works now, but every time you go, you still can never get used to kind of the intensity of it, and just the kind of volume of people, and just in terms of the passion that the people there have for the show, no matter how many times you go, it kind of always takes you by surprise. Yeah, it was a really lovely experience. But also great to be there with such a lovely group of cast as well. No, I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Is it at times like that you reflect on what this show has done for you? Because presumably it's changed your life, hasn't it?
It has changed my life. Well, you know, I always say it's changed my life, but that doesn't necessarily imply that I had a life before that I wanted to be changed. I was kind of happy before, and Game of Thrones has just kind of made me happier in lots of kind of interesting ways. And the thing I love about Comic-Con, as far as the show is concerned, is, you know, we filmed the show in Belfast, primarily in Europe, and so it doesn't feel at times like a kind of big American show. It doesn't necessarily feel like the kind of cultural phenomenon that it actually is, because we're working with what feels like local crews and lots of British cast. It's only kind of when we come to America and we come to Comic-Con and Los Angeles for the premiere and stuff, that we really get a sense of just how much of an impact it's having in America and kind of all over the world. Because if you want a kind of demonstration of feedback, people at Comic-Con are not reluctant to do it. They're very, very forthcoming with positive feedback, and their energy is always so kind of demonstrative. It's really nice that you get to go there and just get a sense of just how many kind of shockwaves it's making globally. It doesn't feel like a local project when we're here, but it feels like a kind of local project when we're filming it. But, yeah, it's nice to come over here and see what it means to the kind of hardcore fans, and, you know, just let you know that you're really doing something right, I think.
I'm glad you raised that. When you're on, because of all of the locations, does it feel like a massive production? Do you see the money in the production?
You do get a sense, especially when we shoot some of those huge set pieces, like those huge kind of battle sequences. That's when you really get a sense of just how high those production values really are. But the thing like about Game of Thrones is that a lot of people remember those huge battle sequences, and they remember the CGI, and they remember the fight choreography and all of these things. But so much of Game of Thrones is just about two people talking a lot of the time. We do battles and you know, these impressive cinematic set pieces. We do them really well, but we also do talking really well. So when you're on set, it depends on the sequence. If you're, as I have been lately, just acting with one or two people, if you're just acting with Jim Broadbent and Ian Glen, for example, that's when it starts to feel more like a play. That's when you're just really getting down to the very, very basics and the kind of core principles of acting, where you're only acting with two different people and in a kind of small room. But it's only when we do the big action sequences that we really get a sense of just how high the production values are and just what a kind of big monster this is. But most of the time, for me especially, it's almost like doing a play. Those low-key scenes where it's all about character and motivation and psychology and all of these things, that's acting at its very kind of purest form, and that's the same principle no matter what scale of project you're working on.
What about the fact it's coming to an end? Has that hit you yet?
It kind of has. We're all having to start thinking about it. And I think we started thinking about it as soon as we realised there were going to be 7 episodes in season 7 and 8 episodes in season 6, that's when we really had to start thinking about it, because, you know, we know the way American TV works. And we knew that Sopranos did those 2 short episodes or 2 short seasons or 1 long season cut in half, and Breaking Bad did that. And you know, a lot of those big shows tend to do that. So when we found out that we were doing these 2 short seasons, we really did start to get a sense of it coming to an end. And that's hard. I think it's harder for actors like myself and Kit Harington and Lydia Clark, because we don't know what it's like to be actors and not be in Game of Thrones, because it was our first job, pretty much. I mean, Kit did a couple of plays and immediately did a couple of TV things, and I did nothing at all. I came straight out of drama school into Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones is our entire career, and it's easier, I think, for people like, you know, Charles Band, for example, when he left the show, or, you know, Diana Rigg, Conor Hill, or any of those actors who've had really long, impressive careers with so much before and there'll be so much after, because Game of Thrones just feels like one job in amongst a lot of other great jobs. But for me, it's my entire career. I've never been a professional actor and not been in Game of Thrones, so it's going to be hard to adapt to it not being there. So we'll just have to see how it goes. I'm getting the early stages of kind of withdrawal symptoms already.
It's why I asked whether it had changed your life, because it, as far as being an actor is concerned, what do you want to do? You want to train? You want to get work? Look at what happened to you. What a story.
Yeah, it's you know, so much of this stuff and so much of, you know, what roles you play and what roles you get and what you're available for. It's always a kind of combination of mainly luck and a little bit of talent as well. The luck comes in because, in my case, they were looking for what I could do exactly at the point that I was available to do it. And if Game of Thrones had been shot a year before, I'd still been a drama student and I wouldn't have been available for the part. And if they'd have shot it a year later, maybe I'd have kind of given up acting by then and maybe doing something else. It was just, for me, real kind of cosmic forces really working in my favour and deciding that when I just come out of drama school, they were looking for an actor to play a part that I could play kind of better than anybody else they were looking at. And that's a lot of luck, and you can't really think about that. You can't really think about the chances of that because it drives you so crazy, but it happens, and I never really made provision for it not happening. And looking back, that's kind of scary that I didn't have anything else to fall back on. But, you know, it seems to have worked out, and I'm always going to be grateful to David and Dan and Game of Thrones for, you know, starting me off, and we'll see what happens next. But I said something to Mark Addy, who played King Robert in season one. I said, he said, are you doing anything else this year? And I said, no, but if you do only Game of Thrones in a year, it's a pretty good year. And he said, well, if you do Game of Thrones in a career, it's a pretty good career. So we'll just have to see what happens next. But no, I don't want it to end. It was such an amazing time, but all the things have to come to an end, I suppose.
Exactly. Which is what I was going to ask you. Do you worry that it somehow ruined you?
How do you mean?
In the sense that one job, first job, is the greatest job of all. What can possibly top it?
Yeah, I do start to think about that. But in terms of my own satisfaction and the kind of feeling that I get from acting, that's still kind of available, I think, no matter what size of production it is or the kind of esteem that the production is held in. I get satisfaction from acting, from creating moments and you know, working with other actors and finding those little beats and making scenes work and telling stories. And you don't necessarily have to be involved in the biggest show in the world to be able to do that. You can do that on stage. You can do that in smaller films, smaller TV. That sense of satisfaction, it's never less intense just because the projects, you know, are less successful or less, or a project that's held in kind of less high esteem, because we can't really think about how big the show is when we make it. When we're doing those things, we can't think of it that we're part of the biggest show in the world. You have to kind of forget about that. You have to concern yourself with making it good before it can be big. So I don't think it's an actor's job to ever think about the size of the project they're in when they're doing it. So they should just think of how good it is and try and make it as good as possible. Then if it becomes big, it's kind of out of their hands, but it's got to be good before it can be big at all. So I think what I get from acting, I don't necessarily have to be in a show the size of Game of Thrones in order to get that feeling, I don't think.
Why do you think it has worked? Because in a world of simple things where television is increasingly simple, many argue dumbed down, this is a phenomenally complex sort of plot. Yeah. Why does it work?
Well, I think it works. The reason I think it works globally, and the reason why I think it has been such a worldwide phenomenon, is because it's set against a fantasy backdrop. And, for example, if you were to make a show set in New Zealand in 2017, if that's where you're going to set your show. People who live in New Zealand 2017 have a slight advantage over everybody else because it's their reality and it's their world and it's what they see when they look out the window, and they don't have to take an intellectual step to invest in the world that they're looking at. Everybody else would have to. People who lived in Tokyo and people who lived in Sao Paulo and all over the world don't have to take an intellectual leap to get to New Zealand in 2017 and understand all of those dynamics and understand that world. With Game of Thrones, because it's nobody's reality and because everybody is slightly alienated by it and everybody has to take that leap and take that jump and have that willing suspension of disbelief if they're going to invest in this world that nobody recognises when they look out the window, that unites everybody. Because everybody has the same kind of intellectual experience. And you know, it's a number of things. It combines really detailed and really psychologically valid drama, and it's a drama about ambition and internal conflicts and family and power dynamics within families and how your upbringing scars you for life and makes you the person who you are and how you never quite shake off all of that emotional baggage that you carry around. It's about all of those human things. But combined with that, it's set against a very stylized, beautiful fantasy backdrop. So not only does it have all of that family drama and human drama that you find in something like, you know, the great shows like Sopranos and The Wire and all those things, it also has these incredible visuals as well that kind of bring it out. So it really is a feast for everybody in terms of I think anybody can get something from it. People who like battles and action and dragons and visuals and all this kind of stuff, they're catered for. The people who like very deep emotional drama, they have it as well. And I think that's because we had to find a way of uniting, when we first started the show, uniting a fantasy audience and an HBO audience. Two groups of people you do, and there'll be overlap, of course, but they are quite separate in terms of demographics. And we had to find a product that appealed to them both, and I think that's what it is. It's basically a show about family, but with these amazing, great artistic aesthetics that really kind of knock it above pretty much everything else, I'd say.
Exactly. You can't argue with the success. Congratulations with it all. Good luck with the rest. Lovely to talk to you.
Great to talk to you too, Mike. Thank you so much for having me.